Welcome back, everybody. I apologize if you can hear the garbage truck outside. I am in my new office, my new space that I've moved into. Well, almost moved into. I'll officially move in on Thursday. But, so I apologize for not uploading this episode yesterday. But hey, it's here now. So yeah, it's just been a really stressful kind of week, just trying to figure out the last minute things. Family is coming into town. I have my bachelorette party tonight, which I am excited for, but I'm also just overwhelmed and I'm just ready for all of this wedding stuff to be over. Don't get me wrong, I'm super excited to get married, but I'm just kind of done with the whole, hey, let's plan your reception. Let's plan like all of this stuff. I love planning, but I'm also kind of tired of it. What else is new? I quit my last job. Woohoo! I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm sad about it because my coworkers there were amazing, but I start my new big girl job next week, so I'm really excited and also really nervous about that. What else? I don't know. It's just, yeah. This is my last episode before I am married, which is kind of wild. I don't know if I'll change my last name on here, probably, because I'm just excited to be my soon-to-be husband's wife. I guess, yeah, that's enough about me. So I want to credit my old coworker and my friend Jess for this episode. She sent me this reel on Instagram that was like, oh, a true crime case has never disturbed me so much. And I agree, this case is really disturbing. It's just really awful and it's really, I hate this case, but here I am and I'm going to tell it to you. yeah, so first things first, this episode contains extremely graphic content, specifically towards abuse, sexual assault, and also kidnapping. The sexual assault is really prevalent in this case, so if that triggers you in any way, shape, or form, this episode might not be for you, and that is a-okay. Some cases I personally can't handle, so it's okay. Go listen to some of my other episodes if you want, but yeah, my name is Meredith, and welcome to Secondary Accounts, and let's get started. So, the case that I'm doing this week is about Junko Furuta. I apologize. Have these names are, well, all of these names are Japanese names. I am not fluent in Japanese. I'm barely fluent in English. And so I will try my best to say their names properly. Don't come attacking me, please. But yeah, it's just like, wow. I know, the names are cool. And also my sister served a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Japan. And when I saw this case, I was like, oh, like I kind of have this personal tie to it, even though I've never been to Japan and everything, but it's also just a really hard and really sad case. So let's talk about Junko. I hope I'm saying her name right. Junko? I apologize, but you know what I'm putting down. So Junko Furuta, she was born in 1971 in Misato, Saitama, Japan. I believe she was the middle child. I listened to a podcast episode about her that said she was the middle child between two boys. So she had an older and a younger brother. Junko was a beautiful girl. She didn't drink, she didn't smoke or do drugs. She had good grades. And even though she wasn't considered like to do all the cool stuff, she was still really popular. People really liked her. After school, she worked. She had a job. Junko loved her family. She was just a very well-liked person for obvious reasons, you know? And because of how bright Junko was, obviously people were going to have crushes on her. And one of them being Hiroshi Miyano, who who raved about his connections with the Yakuza. The Yakuza, or the Gokudo, the Japanese police prefer them being called the Gokudo. So if I mention the Gokudo, it's the Yakuza, and vice versa. So they are members of a transnational organized crime syndicate that originated from Japan, also known as people you do not want to mess with. And Hiroshi was also a bully, and some other words that I will not say. he asked Junko out, and she said no, as every person has the right to decline a date, and the other person should respect their decision. But Hiroshi did not. One day in November of 1988, Junko was riding home from work on her bike. It was about 8:30 p.m. And Hiroshi and one of his friends, Shinji Minato, were at a park that evening, and they saw Junko. Hiroshi and Shinji came up with a plan to get back at her for rejecting Hiroshi. Shinji went and shoved Junko off of her bike, while Hiroshi would stop and protect her. Kind of like, a superhero rescue moment, which is so... I just don't like that. And after quote-unquote saving her, Hiroshi asked to walk her home. He was like, haha, since I saved you, now you have to say yes. And Junko still didn't want to. She knew that he wouldn't take no for an answer, and so she let him, I guess, reluctantly let him, that's the right word, walked her home. So instead of leading Junko home, like she agreed to, because, you know, she's coming home from work. When I come home from work, I just want to go home. But, you know, she had different plans. He led her to an abandoned warehouse, and that is where he talked about his Yakuza connections. Again, Hiroshi is very well known for ranting and showing off and bragging about being connected to the Yakuza or Gokudo. Again, I apologize for my pronunciation. And while they were there at the abandoned warehouse, he threatened her that if she fought back or made any sound, that he would kill her and that her family would be killed. And what happens next is really triggering for some people. Just a trigger. If you still want to listen along, I just want to let you know, skip ahead a little bit, like 15 seconds or 30 seconds, I should say. Because there at this abandoned warehouse, Hiroshi raped Junko. And when he was done the first time, he took Junko to a park to meet up with his friends, Shinji, who shoved her off of the bike, Joe Ogura, and Yusushi Watanabe. And there at the park, she was also raped by the three friends. And I wouldn't be surprised if Hiroshi raped her as well, again, a second time, or another time at the park, because his friends were doing it, and because they all thought they were so cool. I'm sure he didn't want to be left out of that, so they're just awful people. And after they were done at the park, they then smuggled Junko into Shinji's home. And Shinji still lived with his parents, and his parents knew that he had connections to the Yakuza, and nobody wants to mess with them because of their ties. For obvious reasons, I wouldn't want to mess with them either. But, his parents saw them and knew what was going on, and it's just very, very frustrating to know that his parents knew. After they brought her to Shinji's house, So, obviously, at this point, Junko's parents knew something was off. Their daughter wasn't home. She was always very punctual. She knew, or they knew that she should have been home by now, but she wasn't. And so they called the police, and Junko Furuta was reported missing. And obviously, the news was reporting, hey, Junko is missing. We need to save her. We need to find her. And the boys that kidnapped Junko did not want her parents or police searching and eventually finding her. So Junko was forced to call her parents and lie to them, saying that she ran away to live with a friend and that she was safe and that they needed to call off the search. If I was in Junko's if I was Junko par if I was Junko's parents in this very situation, she's a good girl. Granted, some people are genuinely good and some people put on an act for their parents, and then when they are out of their parents' view or sight, they are completely different people. I believe that Junko was a genuinely good person. And so her parents also knew and believed their daughter, because why would she lie to them? But also, I'm sure they were very suspicious and they were like, what the crap? Why didn't you tell us first? Like, you don't have your things. You didn't pack for this so-called living with your friend. And it's just very frustrating and it's very heartbreaking, because I'm sure her parents knew something was up, but they couldn't do anything because they didn't know where she was. And that's just very difficult and very heartbreaking. And if she was with a friend, like, actually, what friend would want to take you away from your parents? Like, in a reasonable situation, like, if no harm or foul was done at your house, if you had a safe and stable relationship with your parents and then with your siblings and whatever, why would you want to leave? She's 17. Yeah, it's just kind of wild to think about. And it's like, what friend would do that? I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure Junko didn't hang out with the people who were like Hiroshi and Shinji and Joe and Yosushi. Like, she didn't hang out with them. That's why they kidnapped her, because she did not want to hang out with them. And I totally respect her decision, because why would you want to hang out with people who kidnapped people who said no? Everybody has the right to say no, and everybody has the right to choose. They should have the right to choose. But that is a rant for another day. Because of recent being or recent happenings in the courts. But I won't discuss that with you guys today, because we are here to talk about Junko. And while she continued living at Shinji's home, she was forced to pose as his girlfriend. And still, his parents knew something was off, but continued to ignore that fact for 44 days. I just can't even imagine pretending to be somebody's girlfriend, somebody who rapes you and does all of these awful things that I will share with you in a second. So another name for Junko Furuta's story is 44 Days of Hell. And we've only looked at the surface, and we will dive under after this break. All right, everybody, welcome back from the break. Fun fact, so it's the next day. So I intended to have this episode come out yesterday, but so we were supposed to get our Wi-Fi installed yesterday, but then a lot of stuff happened on their end, so we couldn't get our Wi-Fi installed. But this morning, we had the Wi-Fi technician come out. And I know, I'm just really, 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 really grateful because yesterday was such a stressful day because I was trying to make my house look presentable because I had my bachelorette party here and trying to be waiting here all day for the Wi-Fi and calling and them being like, oh yeah, he'll be there in like an hour, and then 2 hours come by and I call again and I'm like, yeah, he's not here. And so it was just very, very frustrating. But you know, it's a new day. I'm really grateful for that. I am just so excited we have Wi-Fi before tomorrow, which is our wedding day. And it's just like, wow, I'm getting married tomorrow and it's kind of crazy. But I know if any of my friends who were at my party last night who are listening, thank you so much for coming. It was such a party. I love you. And I guess on a darker, a lot darker note, we're gonna go back to Junko's case because that is why you're here listening today. And so if you are still here, please buckle up. I'm going to quote japaninsides.com, 44 Days of Hell, the murder story of Junko Furuta's article. And so I don't miss what the awful men did to her, and because it's just finding a way to like phrase it and make it my own without plagiarizing was difficult because there's so many details and so many awful things that happened to her that I know I will link this article in my show notes. Don't hesitate to look at that and to look at the different sources. Eventually, one day I'll have a website. I've been working on it. It's in the works, but you know, it's taking its sweet time. Okay. Now, let me tell you what happened. So, while she was there at Shinji's house, Junko was humiliated by, well, okay, Junko, quote, was humiliated by being kept naked most of the time. She was raped every day in both the vagina and the anus. More than 100 men are believed to have raped her, unquote. So all of the 100 men, Hiroshi and his friends, they invited some Yakuza members to join them in abusing Junko. So it's believed that she was raped about 500 times, estimated. In quote, at one point, she was raped by 12 different men in one day. She endured physical beatings, which included hits with golf clubs and bashing of the face on the cement floor. The 100 men who are believed to have raped her also repeatedly enjoyed urinating on the girl. Frequently, to turn her rapists on, she was forced to masturbate in front of them and their guests. She had various objects forced into her vagina and anus, which included a bottle, an iron bar, I mean, scissors, roasting needles, grilled chicken skewers, unquote. And in other sources, I've read that they even put a lit up light bulb in her. Yeah. I know I say this in every episode, but this, like, how can somebody do this to another human being? And it's all just because she said no. So if any of you are like, why can't she just say no? Because this has happened throughout the course of history. Because if a woman says no, she will most likely be killed and raped. So that's why things need to change. And it's just, yeah, it's awful. Everybody should have the right to say no and be respected for it. It's just like, it's hard. It's difficult to read these experiences and hear them from my friends and hear them from people that I care about because it happens. It's real life. So if somebody tells you no, respect them. Be a decent human being. Literally, like, that's it. Like, please just move on and be like, okay, whatever. Not this time. Maybe I should just stop. Yeah, stop and rethink your choices if you go and think, you know, I'm just gonna do these awful things. No, you're not. And if you are, you're gonna get caught. You're awful. You're awful. Yeah, I get on these tangents because I strongly believe. And plus, like, if you don't believe that this is wrong, then, like, get help. Yeah, get help. If you know somebody who doesn't think this is wrong, make them get help. Thank you. Okay, going back to Junko. Because of this torture and destruction of her internal anatomy, she no longer could urinate or defecate properly. She was also forced to eat live cockroaches and had to drink her own urine. No, that's just. Okay, probably TMI, but I don't care. It's like, even though it's not really TMI because I'm not telling you anything, like, oh no. Girls go to the bathroom. Plot twist, we do. It's not a surprise. But, like, I don't know. I hate having to be like, okay, now I need to go to the bathroom. Like, this morning, before the Wi-Fi guy came, I had to go to the bathroom, but I was like, just watch. The second I go in the bathroom, he's gonna knock at the door. And literally, like, I got to the point, okay, whatever, I just need to go. So I went to the bathroom. And then, right as I opened the bathroom door, there was a knock at the door. I was like, whoa, it happened. And so it's just like, I hate having to go to the bathroom. I don't know about you guys. It's just like, also ignore the cars outside. I'm trying to learn like this new recording setup. And so there will be more sounds than when I was like recording in my closet in my parents' house. So yeah, I don't like going to the bathroom, but like I'm able to go to the bathroom and I'm really grateful for that because some people can't. They have a difficult time. So I am really grateful for the body that I have, but it's also like I just hate going to the bathroom. And I just can't imagine not being able to properly, you know? So yeah, that's my bathroom talk. And let's continue. And even so, Junko's eyelids and genitals were used as ashtrays. They were burned by cigarettes, lighters, and hot wax. Junko lived in this hell for 44 days, but it could have been cut shorter. And that's what aggravates me so much. Granted, this entire situation is just my heart. Like, I don't know. I just. Okay. Continuing on, because you guys are more interested in that. So, one of the boys who was invited over to the house, who I assume either joined in on raping Junko or just partook on the awful things that these boys and men did. He informed his brother about what he saw at Shinji's house. And then this brother of the guy who was at the house and seeing Junko there and what was happening to her, that brother eventually then told their parents, and then the parents called the police. You know, as good, rightful human beings should. If you see it, if you hear it, report it. And so everyone knew Junko was missing, and Junko was wanted back safely. Her family needed her, her friends, the community all loved her. And so police showed up to the Minato home, but Shinji's parents assured them that no girl was there. And the police were like, okay, whatever, and left. And left. I can't. The second time, it was Junko who called. She managed to get a hold of a phone and called the authorities. But before she could speak, her kidnappers found her and told the police that the call was an accident. Because when her kidnappers came, she either hung up or they took the phone out of her hands and hung up. And then the police called them again and was like, hey, what's going on? And then the kidnappers were like, oh, it was just an accident. Don't mind that. Seriously? No. No. I will mind that. Because it's a very serious thing. And so, after they finished that phone call with the police, the boys punished Junko by dousing her legs in lighter fluid and they lit her on fire. On January 4th of 1989, Junko beat her captors at a game of mahjong. Instead of being able to celebrate her win, like people should do, as long as, like, you're not cocky, you know, you can be happy that you celebrated a game. You know, I was like, woohoo, haha, because if any of you know me personally, I am very competitive. My family's very competitive, so I'm like, haha, I gotta win. But she wasn't able to be happy in that kind of, like, small victory. I'm sure she was like, haha, suck it, guys. Like, you've been doing these awful things, and I'm still better than you. You know, like, I don't know. She's a queen. And so instead of being able to celebrate this win, Junko was tortured to death. The boys were scared of being caught, so they dumped her body in a 55-gallon drum that was eventually filled with concrete. And then they dropped this gallon drum on a cement truck. The question is, 55 gallons, that's a lot. I don't know how these four boys did that. Who knows? Maybe they're strong, but the way that I'm picturing them, they're little weaklings, but because they teamed up, like, they were able to overpower Junko, because trying to take on four guys, or like four people in general, no, I personally couldn't, I don't know. And so I'm just like, maybe there was more, but they just didn't want to say anything. But I know later it makes sense that it was just the four of them. But moving on, Junko's murderers believed that was the end. They felt like all was well with the world until one day, Hiroshi and Joe were arrested for a different thing. It was for gang rape charges. While Hiroshi was being interrogated, police mentioned an open murder investigation. And the first thing that comes to Hiroshi's mind is Junko. Junko Furuta. Her. That girl. And so he also thought, you know, maybe Joe confessed. Maybe that's why the police are bringing this up. If Joe confessed, so that means he drug me under the bus, so I'm gonna confess. And Hiroshi told the police where Junko's body could be found. The police were not talking about Junko, so Hiroshi confessed to a crime that police weren't questioning him about. But I bet that the police were, like, not excited that they had to go find her body, but excited to be able to find her and to give her family closure and just be like, we found your little girl. I just, those monsters of boys. Insane. And so all four of the boys were in custody within days of Hiroshi's confession. As they should. They should be contained. And the four attackers were in their teenage years. So they were all under 18. And because of that, there is a possibility that that is why their sentences were horrendously short for what they did. Others say it was their link to the Yakuza that helped them get released sooner. You know, that wouldn't surprise me. Maybe it was a mixture of both. I'm not sure. But listen to these prison sentences that these murderers, rapists, awful guys got. So Hiroshi Miyano, the guy who got rejected, he served 20 years. Shinji Minato, where Junko had to pretend to be his girlfriend, where they kept her, got 5 to 9 years. Joe Ogura got 5 to 10 years. And Yasushi Watanabe got 5 to 7 years. Three of the four murderers have reoffended. Yasushi Watanabe is believed to not have relapsed into his old ways. He has not reoffended. You know, maybe he learned. Maybe. He better have. And the others? No. It's awful. Wow. Yeah. So that is the case of Junko Furuta. I know she's in a better place now, but it just sucks that she literally, like, she would be, like, around the age of my parents now, which is weird. Like, she would still be alive, she would still be young, you know, and I just... Don't do awful things, okay, guys? Don't be awful. I won't be uploading a new episode on July 4th because in America, that's Independence Day. And plus, I'm coming home from my honeymoon that day. And I don't want to have to worry about doing an episode today because my wedding's tomorrow and I'll be gone all week. Yeah, thank you guys so much for your support and just being so kind and giving me these cases to look into. Granted, if even though they are awful, but you know me, I like learning about cases. If you guys have any cases that you want me to do, comment on any of my posts, message me on Instagram or Facebook, because I'm on both. And again, when I finally finish my website, I will let you guys know. Who knows how long that will take, because, I don't know, moving into a new place, starting a new job, getting married, trying to figure out all these big girl things will take a little bit. So please continue to be patient with me. Thank you for waiting for this episode. I'm so sorry it didn't come out on Monday. Time is slipping away from me and it's kind of crazy. And then it's like, I have family in town, so I need to go out with them and hang out with them because I haven't seen them for a little while. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to see my grandma. I want to see my sister and her little family, you know? And so, yeah, I guess I'll close with that. Thank you guys for listening to Secondary Accounts. If you like it, don't forget to follow and to rate us, because I'd like to hear your guys's, like, feedback. I'll try not to take it personally, because whenever I receive, like, constructive criticism, I take it personally. I'm just that person, and I'm working on it. Slowly but surely. All right. Yeah, I guess I'll see you guys in my next episode. It will be coming soon. Just not on Monday. Sorry, I really need to work on my uploading schedule, but anywho, moving on, I keep rambling. I apologize. Thank you for coming along for the ride. Have a wonderful rest of your day or night or whenever you're listening to this. If you're out on a bike ride, you know, don't think about ghosts. You know who you are. yeah, I guess I'll see you guys next time. Bye.